finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are of good report, whatsoever things are holy, whatsoever things are praiseworthy. I mean, no, being able to breathe when there's so many that can't is praiseworthy. I read something my wife forwarded to me, may have forwarded it to some of you, but if you have a little bit of money in your wallet, amen, and a little bit of money, not a lot, I'm not talking about thousands, just a little bit of money in your bank account where you could actually pick up something today if you saw it and you wanted it, you could buy it. You're in the top 8% of people who live in this world. Everyone else is beneath where you are. If you've got enough money to go to the burger stand today and go by and get you a t-shirt at Kmart, you're in the top 8%, amen, of people in this world. The rest, or the other 92, are living in conditions where they don't necessarily have what we have access to right now. Isn't that incredible? We should be grateful for that. God has been good to us. Amen. If you have health in your body and you're not going for chemotherapy or you're not going for a heart transplant, you're not waiting on a liver, you're in a wonderful, blessed state today. Don't let any of the little stuff. Somebody said, don't sweat the small stuff. Can you say amen? And a lot of times what's looming so big in our life is really, in light of all these other things, amen, it's small stuff. Can you say amen? So let's don't let the devil make a mountain out of a molehill. Let's let God make a molehill out of a mountain. Can you say amen? Amen. Does God do that? Can he do it? Amen. The Old Testament said, amen, it's God, the mountain that stands before you shall become as a plain, not by might nor power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Can you say, this wasn't a physical mountain. This was circumstances that were going against what God had called Zerubbabel to accomplish for him. And I'm going to tell you something. Anything that is worth doing for God, the devil is going to fight it. He's going to fight you and me because he can't stop God Almighty, and he knows it. So he wants to stop those people that God is flowing to and God is flowing through. He'll come against you. He'll come against me. He'll come against us collectively, individually. Amen. But he will not win if we keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. There's no doubt about that. So let's declare victory before the fight is even over. Let's go ahead and declare victory. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good. He's gracious. And we can win this thing. And this is all part of the message today of restoration. Praise God. The thief indeed came to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. I will restore the years. I will wipe away the tears. Yea, I will turn your mourning to dancing. I will give you that kind of victory, saith the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Glory. Glory to the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's give him praise. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Well, let's just stand and give the Lord a hand clap. Rejoice with them that rejoice. This is good news. This is the last thing the devil wants us to do is shout his name, spread his fame. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb. Hallelujah. Our God's an awesome God. He's a mighty God. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you for victory. Glory to the Lamb of God. Restoration will turn our lives around. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen and amen and amen. I'm just going to rest in the Lord here for a few minutes before we move into his word. We need this victory. We need this joy. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we just praise you. We worship you. We give place to the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Letaramba, sende robokole, sitanda da barisha loboke, nanda da basita, kisholo motete, nita da boro, andaraba kasila manete, kisho. Father, we praise you, we worship you, we honor you here today. We thank you, Lord, for our cup running over. Father, we just praise you for victory in Jesus. We declare it. We declare it. You said we would decree a thing and it would be established unto us. That's not the power of our words. That's the power of our God. We just give words to agree that you are and you're a rewarder of them that diligently seek you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We ascribe unto you power and honor and glory and a kingdom. Hallelujah. And we thank you, Lord, again and again for your lordship in our life, your leadership. Father, we give you praise today. And again, everyone said amen and amen. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Matthew 13, 14 through 15. Matthew 13, 14 through 15. We're going to take just a few minutes and review for the sake so that this disc and this broadcast and this service can stand alone if it needs to. But there are several in this sequence of sermons that we've been ministering on Sunday morning about the signs of true conversion. We could also say the blessings of true conversions, but I want to emphasize the signs of true conversion. This is probably one of the most important, if not the most important, series of messages that I have ever preached over 30 years of ministry. This is the most important because this has to do with whether or not people really have eternal life. That is crucial and critical. It's a blessing to me to see the signs of eternal life and to know that they are operative in my life. Amen. But it's vital in a day when the Bible said many false prophets would come out into the earth and they would deceive many. In a day like this, truth becomes so crucial. And the truth about heaven or hell issues are the most crucial truths of all. Can you say amen? How many know when you die, you're going somewhere for eternity? I know you don't hear about hell anymore. If I was writing a book on, and I'm not going to write a book unless the Lord prompts me and gives me a spell corrector. Can you say amen? But if I was going to write a book today about my experiences down through life as a pastor and a preacher, I would have Whatever Happened To would be the title of it. And it wouldn't be about what happened to the old rock stars or the old movie stars or the child stars. I used to have a little book said Whatever Happened To, and it had some of the little rascals in it that I used to watch when I was young and some of the other people from way back and what they're doing now or whether they're alive or whether they're dead. But I would have a Whatever Happened To, and I would take some of the cardinal truths of Scripture. And in the midst of a last day generation and more preaching than we've ever heard in our lives, I would ask the question, the crucial question, whatever happened to heaven? Why don't we hear more about heaven in the body of Christ? Can you say amen? How many know heaven is an important message to the people of God? That's our homeland. Everybody say our homeland. But I would also ask in the next number one, what happened to heaven? When did we get so earthbound that heaven didn't become such an important issue to us? Amen. Amen. Seeing that his coming is very near and seeing that this world is going to pass away, being on fire with fervent heat and the elements being on fire with fervent heat, seeing that all these things are going to come to pass, what kind of people should we be, Peter said? How should that affect our perspective on life, our values in life? Amen. How many we know we should be heavenly minded? Someone said, some people are so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. And I'm going to kind of say that if you're not heavenly minded, you're not spiritually going to be any earthly good. Amen. How can you be if you're not pointing people to heaven? Can you say amen? I believe the reason Billy Graham has been so blessed of God to preach to presidents and to kings and to have a worldwide ministry without all the marketing schemes of self-promotion is his gospel is very clear, very concise. It's about, amen, getting sins forgiven, repenting of sins. It's about going to heaven and not going to hell. That's an important message. It's a message God will bless and take to the nations of the earth because that is the crux of it all. That's more important than anything. The next chapter would be whatever happened to hell. You don't hear about it anymore because people don't want to deal with that issue. Hell hasn't gone away because we don't preach about it and teach about it. Jesus taught about hell more than he taught about heaven. In the New Testament, if you want to go through it and mark all the references, Jesus taught more about the place of punishment than the place we're going to, simply because he wanted to make it very clear that it's so important that we receive him as our Savior. The alternative to going to heaven is not just dying and going nowhere. The alternative to going to heaven is going somewhere else. And there is a resurrection for the unjust. We talk about the resurrection of the just so much. I would put in a part of that. Whatever happened to the resurrection of the unjust? We never hear of that anymore. But everyone is going to be raised from the dead. Everybody that's ever lived is going to be raised from the dead. Amen. The book of Revelation said, "And I saw the small and the great, the sea gave up her dead." Everybody that's ever died in the sea is going to come back to life. And the earth is going to give up her dead. And I saw all the dead from the sea and the earth come to stand before the great white throne. And everyone whose name was not written in the Lamb's book of life will be cast into the lake of fire. That's an incredible, incredibly important issue in Revelation chapter 20. Can you say, man? How many know we need to know that we have eternal life? To know that our names are written down in heaven. We need to know that God recognizes us. It's not just our claim on him. It's his promise to recognize us. That we fulfilled what he said is necessary. And I'm not talking about works except truly receiving Christ as Savior. But there are signs that we have been converted so that we can be healed and saved. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 13, 14, and 15. "And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Esaias," or Isaiah, "which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them." The New International said, "Turn and I will heal them." The Amplified is good. It says, uses the term "turn" where "converted" is written, because that's what it's talking about. So the first thing that Jesus said that is supposed to happen in the heart of someone who's truly converted, and that means saved, because they've turned to him and looked to him for salvation and turned from their sin in order to do that, and that's called repentance. The first thing that he says is that is necessary to conversion is regeneration. Say it with me, regeneration. That's an important issue. I'm just going to read it quickly as we go down to restoration. Titus 3, 5 through 7 says, "Not of works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us." And how did he do that? By the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Everybody say again, washing of regeneration. Renewing of the Holy Ghost. God does something spiritually within us when we get saved. Can you say amen? And it's called regeneration. And what Jesus calls regeneration, again in another place, he says it to Nicodemus that comes to him by night. He says, "You must be born again." Billy Graham said that's such a term that's so misused and abused. We may need to redefine it as born from above. Something spiritual has to take place for you to get saved. You can't just make a decision. It can't be just a mental decision. Change of mind. There has to be a change of heart. And the thing about it is, you can't change your heart, but God can. Can you say amen? And God does if you receive Christ as your Savior. Amen. If any man be in Christ, something creative by the Holy Spirit has taken place. He's a new creation. God has creatively worked in you. Isn't that good that God has created? That's why David said, "I don't want to just get my sin forgiven. Create in me a clean heart, and renew in me a right spirit, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me." He knew something spiritual needs to take place in my life. Amen? Regeneration. Everybody say regeneration. You must be born again, spiritually regenerated, to enter into the kingdom of God. Therefore, the minimum qualification for entry to heaven is not what we do only, but what we are, or what we have now become. Amen. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but there's been a change in what we are. Can you say amen? Now we are the sons of God. Something powerful has happened in our life. Amen? All right. The second thing is transformation. Everybody say it with me. Transformation.
Transformation.
The Bible said that we should be renewed in our mind that and be no more conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen. As we behold as in a glass his face, we are changed, transfigured. Similar word. Same thing is taking place. Same word that was used when Jesus was spiritually changed and stood there in a almost like a revelation of the kingdom that's beyond this, the world beyond this world. And he stood there, amen, with Elijah. And he stood there, amen, with those of old. And he was transfigured. Amen. The Bible said that is something that is supposed to be ongoing in our life, a transformation. We are changed into his image. We're not just trying to be more like him. We're being changed by the Holy Spirit into his image from glory to glory. Amen. You that are trying to love like he loved, let me tell you about your effort to love like he loved. Amen. Just where did you meet some of the people I have met? Down through the years, I've met some hard cases. And I'm going to tell you, unless God's love is flowing through you by the Holy Spirit, you're going to break down. And I mean, I've had that. I've had it happen. I've missed it on that. Amen. I have to go back and say, Holy Spirit, I can't do this, but you can. Amen. And you must. Amen. You've got to transform me. I can't transform myself. Can a leopard change his spots is a liberating text in Scripture, because it means you are not expected by God to change the sin nature that you were born with. But you are expected to look to God so he can change it. Can you say amen? It's all right to say I can't change myself. It's all wrong to say God can't change me. Because if you want the change that God wants to make, God is able to change you. And God is able to change me. Can you? He makes silk purses out of sow's, transforms water to the best wine. Can you say amen? He created a universe. Don't tell me he can't work in you and me, this great God. And the God that created this universe wants to be creatively at work in you and in me. For the Bible said, amen, he spoke and it was done. Well, he spoke over us too. Listen what his word says. It's God that worketh in you. The God who created the universe is at work in you and is at work in me, both to will and, listen to this, to do of his good pleasure. Hath he not said it? Will he not bring it to pass? He watches over his word to perform it or bring forth that fruit. Praise God. Amen. He does the work. We yield and surrender and seek him for the change, but he does the work. Amen. He does the work. You don't have to do it. What a load of, can a leopard change his spots? No way. Can God, who created the leopard, change him if he so desired? Yes, he can. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Transformation. As we behold as in a glass his face, we are changed, transformed into his image. Metamorpho is the word. It's the word used when a caterpillar goes through a process and becomes a beautiful butterfly. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, I see some folks here are concrete Christians, thoroughly mixed, permanently set. Hard to deal with people who are happy where they are, who are not open for the adventure and the challenge of change. Amen. God doesn't just want you in your definition of holy, because your definition of holy is that you don't do certain things you used to do, and you do certain things you didn't used to do. God wants to change you and me more like his son. That means the fruit of the Spirit needs to be cultivated. I read a book one time. It's an old book, and the name of it was Sun-Ripened Fruit. And I thought, I'm going to steal the title of that, amen, because old book, it's out of print. But I'm going to take the title of that for a sermon series on the fruit of the Spirit. How many would like to hear a sermon series on the fruit of the Spirit? Amen. Oh, it's a beautiful concept of what God wants to do in our character, because he wants to make us more like his son. And the name of the book, and it was all about the fruit of the Spirit. I read it when I first went into ministry. It was S-O-N, sun-ripened fruit. Everybody say sun and point up. Sun-ripened fruit. This is a product of His work in our life. Can you say amen? This is a product of us becoming ultra-religious or ultra-ly pious. This is just simply a product, a practical work of the Holy Ghost, working within our character to make us more like His Son. Amen. You're going to find out that what the Holy Ghost wants to produce in us is not just our religious attempt to do better. Amen. This is all supernatural. This is all wrought by the same Spirit that created the universe. So He wants to create the God kind of love in us, the God kind of peace and the God kind of joy, the God kind of goodness and the God kind of patience and the God kind of temperance. It's the product of the Holy Spirit working in you and working in me. And I don't know about you, but I got lots of room for construction. How about you? You got any room? Amen. I mean, just take patience alone. Temperance, self-control. Amen. Listen, he that hath no rule over his own spirit without that fruit in your life. Amen. This is not a gift of the Spirit. This is a product. This is a work of the Spirit in your character. Amen. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city without gates whose walls were broken down. When that scripture was written, the safety of a city was in the height, the thickness of its mighty walls and the strength of its gates. If you take the walls down and the gates down, that's why it talked about that enter in at the straight gate. There was a little gate just to let late travelers in. It was very small, amen, that they would open just to let individuals through when the big gates closed at night, amen, because that would keep an army from coming through or a band of thieves from coming through, amen. There would be usually a guard at that little gate, and they would see who it was and let someone in one person at a time, amen. It was a small gate outside the city because cities, the only way, they couldn't leave their gates open at night. They couldn't have a city without walls around it because they were totally indefensible against their enemies. God is saying to us that we need this transforming work to continue in our life. He that hath no rule over his own spirit, it doesn't matter how much faith you've got. If you have no rule over your own spirit, Satan is going to take advantage of that chink in your armor. Can you say amen? He's indefensible against the devil. That's why we see people with so much truth that they preach and study and such an anointing and such faith that have such terrible, terrible defeats and failures. Because when you quit developing in the fruit of the Spirit and the enemy comes with a temptation and you have no rule over your own spirit, you're indefensible. Shield of faith don't work unless you take it. You still have to be in the position and character so that you utilize the armor. It don't matter what kind of soldier you put in the armor. If that soldier doesn't have a heart to stand, he's not going to use the sword, not going to use the shield, not going to use the belt. There's no ministry or head of a ministry that's ever fallen that couldn't have overcome if they'd used what was available to them and what they knew in their heart and head, and that's the truth. Amen? These were not people that the devil, oh, someone had great potential, so that's why the devil overcame. Listen, if the devil can defeat everybody God called, amen, just because he comes against them because they have potential, there would be no successful ministry in anywhere in the world. No, he overcomes people that are so tapped into the anointing, so focused on our calling, so filled with truth, we forget that God still wants to work in our character. Being able to preach like a man or woman from another world is not the same as becoming more like Jesus Christ. Amen? And today, the Christian consumer world, we're just looking for mighty anointings, charismatic personalities. We're not looking for Christ-likeness. How do you know Christ-likeness? Well, he made of himself no reputation. That's number one. Can you say amen? He wasn't out to make a name for himself. Amen. He wanted people to know the Father. But because of that attitude, God exalted him and gave him a name that's above every name that's named. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Listen to me. Glory to God. But he didn't go out to establish a name for himself. Amen. When they just looked on him after the flesh and didn't see the God that he wanted to show them. Amen. And they said, good master. He said, why callest thou me good? There's none good but my Father which is in heaven. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. My words are not mine. My deeds are not mine. But what I hear my Father say, that's all I speak. And what I see him do, that's all that I do. Can you say amen? And because he humbled himself, made of himself no reputation, took on himself the form of a servant, and was obedient unto the death of the cross, God hath highly exalted him and given him a name above every name that's named. Amen. Hallelujah. So we go out today to establish our ministries, establish our anointings, establish ourselves as someone special. And God simply says, that's not the way to go. And yet that is what impresses the populace. So Christlikeness is neglected because we have anointings. And we think gifts and callings and anointings and people applauding us is going to take the place of becoming more like Jesus Christ. Once that transforming process stops, we stagnate and we come to a stalemate in our Christian life. And I don't care if you're preaching to the nations of the world. That minister is going to come to a stagnant spiritual life. See, gifts flow. Remember Samson, who was anointed? The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. It took a long time for God to pull that anointing off of him. Can you say amen? Did you know one of his exploits was while he was sinning? One of his exploits was while he was sinning. He went into a city, and it was before he even met Jezebel. He was already beginning to break his covenant promises with God. And he took for granted, because that anointing was always there, he took for granted the sanctified part of that. That if God uses you in the anointing, he wants to keep you holy unto himself. The anointing is holy. Can you say amen? Everybody say, the anointing is holy. We don't just talk about the Spirit, do we? We talk about the Holy Spirit. Amen. This Bible is God-breathed. That's why it's called the Holy Bible. What makes it holy? Amen. Because man has designated? No, because God has touched that personally. Can you say amen? The ground where God manifests himself, it could be anywhere geographically, but wherever God manifests himself, he said, that piece of ground is right now holy by virtue of my manifest presence. That's why he says, your body is the temple. I manifest myself in my people. He said, keep it holy. Amen? 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 We need to get a sense of the holy. Amen. And reverence. I believe we'll see God. Listen, you just can't use your faith to get God to move. You've got to reverence his presence. Can you say, come on, church. Amen. We've heard faith messages all over the place. And you know what? People run out and buy the tape set. Amen. But we don't see the manifest presence of God. But I remember when I was young, we saw the manifest presence of God. We saw his glory when we saw a leg grow out. We saw an eye that was blind open. Can you say amen? We saw someone who was crippled leap and run. I saw those things. Those were not, we didn't just see people fall out and say they were healed with no evidence. We saw the change. I saw people, I saw demons cast out. I never saw a great healing revival, amen, that I didn't see demonic people set free as well. Amen. You never hardly ever see that anymore. Amen. It's almost like the church has lost its true connection to God's power. We see what money can build, and that's still what man can do. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, the secular world can do anything that God's people are doing with money. If you've got enough money, you can build just about anything you want to build. And you can attribute it to God or not attribute it to God. Amen. If you get enough people on your team sending in money, you can attribute that to God all day long. But I'll tell you, if a devil is cast out, the kingdom has come near you. Jesus said, when demons come out, the kingdom of God is getting close to you. When people are being truly healed and delivered, the kingdom of God. Amen. You can see what man can do, but there are things that money can't buy. There are things that man can't do with his power or his persuasion. There are things that are unique to God himself through the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? And when a demon is being cast out, he said, you're close to the kingdom, and it's close to you. When people are being truly delivered by God's power, he said, you're close to the kingdom, and the kingdom has come nigh to you. Can you say amen? Oh, the church needs a baptism, not just a fire, but the very manifest presence of God, so that the captive can truly be set free again. Hallelujah. I'm not satisfied. If we had 1,000 people this morning in a beautiful sanctuary, I wouldn't be happy if the lost couldn't get saved there and if the bound couldn't get set free there. It wouldn't be church until they could. Amen? Amen? So what about all the sentimental stuff? We just want a service customized to what we like because we're consumers. I want a service that has in it the potential to set somebody free. Tammy Faye Baker died of cancer at 65. I was healed of cancer at 7, going on 8, or 8, somewhere in that area, just the last part of 7, first part of 8. If it hadn't been for a church where God manifested his presence, amen, I would have been dead, buried, and gone years ago. But I'm telling you, there is a covenant with God concerning the church and healing and deliverance to the world. Amen? And I've never been satisfied since because I experienced it. I saw it. I'm a testimony to it. Some of the greatest messages on faith I've ever heard, I've heard in these days. I never heard faith expounded like I'm hearing it now. But I'm seeing less. I'm not talking about the crowd, the building, the Mercedes. I'm seeing less of people who have experienced God's true deliverance. Why am I seeing less? Because maybe we couldn't expound faith and elevate faith back then like it's being elevated now. You know what we did? We elevated Jesus. You didn't hear me this morning. We elevated Jesus. We exalted Jesus. In my name. Not in the name of faith, but in my name, you'll cast out devils. What name are we talking about here, church? In my name, we'll tread on serpents. That means demons will be subject to you. You will not be subject to them. Can you say amen? In my name, we will lay hands on the sick, and in my name, they shall recover. Amen. Anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith. The prayer of faith will save the sick. Why? Because we are exalting what? Faith? No, the name of the Lord. Anoint them with oil in whose name? My name. The prayer of faith then will save them. Why? Because his name is above every name that's named in heaven and earth and beneath the earth. And because cancer bows at the sound of his name. Can you say amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah, glory to God. I love the story of David. Don't you love that? We're variating a little bit. This transformation, God wants to bring forth something here in his people. He wants us back to seeing Jesus like we've never seen him so that we can become what we're beholding. Faith in your faith will break down under pressure. Faith in his faithfulness will never fail you. Hallelujah. I'll bring you the last in the series of faith and faith, God's faithfulness, faith's anchor for the teaching broadcast. I've so enjoyed teaching that message on the radio. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is so gracious. Amen. The prayer of faith seems to be just a faith-filled prayer. The context of that scripture is they will anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith that's based on an understanding of the power, the majesty, and the authority of his name. In my name they shall lay hands on them. Listen, faith doesn't stand separate from him. Amen. Faith exalts him. Can you say amen? That's the first thing faith does, is not exalt itself, this force called faith, or even the first person who's using their faith. It exalts the Lord, who is the object of faith. Can you say amen? In my name you will tread on serpents. In my name you will cast out devils. In my name you will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So James said, if there be any sick among you, call the elders, let them anoint them with oil, just like Jesus said, in his name. The prayer of faith, based on the power and authority of Jesus. Amen. Who do you call on for salvation? There's no other name given under heaven. There's no other name. You can't get saved in the name of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, and he doesn't preach that. Can you say amen? You can't get saved in the name of the Holy Church of God, but there is a name that has been given to men under heaven by which we must be saved. And that's the name of Jesus. That's why when Philip went down to Samaria, he preached Christ unto them. And demons cried and came out of many. And many were healed. And many came to Christ, to the degree that there was great joy in an entire city seeing the manifest presence of God at the preaching of Christ. But today the name of Jesus, the name of the preacher, is a far greater draw than the name of Jesus. I had a missionary come from India, and he invited me to come and preach with him in India. And he said, anytime you want to come, Pastor, you let me know, and I'll set up the service. And the first thing I did I was ready to go anywhere God prompted me. But the first thing I told him was, I said, well, you know, you got to understand that I don't have a reputation. Nobody knows my name on the other side of Tampa, let alone on the other side of the world. So I don't know where all these people are going to come from when you announce Reverend Robert Venable is coming to minister. Robert who? You know, that's the way we do in America. I've never heard of him. You know, it's what took Jesus back. And they were missing God because they said, is not this the carpenter's son? Do not we know his mother and his father? No mighty work could be done because they were unreceptive because he didn't have that great reputation that would give him a direct influence in his hometown. It's incredible how that works. But this guy from India, he said, oh, it is not your name that matters. He said, when we have a service in India, it does not matter whether you're on television or not. It does not matter if you have written a book. It does not matter if anyone's ever heard of you. He said, they are not coming because we announce your name. They are coming because we announce his name. Can you say amen? And I told him, I said, all right, old hoss. Amen. If God ever prompts me to go to India, I will come to India because I will lift up his name when I get there. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody give him praise in this place. He's a great and gracious God today. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The prayer of faith is not about just faith. It's about the exalting of his name. Can you say amen? In my name, you will lay hands on the sick. They shall recover. Hallelujah. So the apostles are preaching. They go into the temple when that early church is developed. As I get ready to close, they go into the temple, and they're sat two men begging by the wayside. A man begging by the wayside, and they're on their way into the temple, and he's saying, alms for the poor, alms for the poor. And Peter and John, approaching him, said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name, say it with me, in the name. Come on, the prayer of faith without the name of Jesus has a missing element that is so vital to faith that if you take it out of the gospel and you take it out of faith, you do not have the original gospel anymore, and you do not have the faith of the early church anymore. Can you say amen? In the name of Jesus Christ, not in the name of the evangelist, not in the name of the anointing, not in the name of the Holy Ghost, not in the name of the church organization, but in the name of Jesus Christ, rise and stand up on your feet and walk. Taking him by the hand and lifting him up, immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he went into the temple running and leaping and exalting the name, praising God. Not praising the anointing on the minister or the gift of the Spirit through the ministry. Amen. But the God who did the work. Not exalting Peter or John, but Jesus Christ. Everybody say Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, the Messiah, the anointed one. And so, boy, it stirred up the dead religious world. Never seen a revival that didn't involve subtraction. Every church that's ever had a revival, everyone without exception, some people left because God had to make changes to bring revival. Satisfied people never experience revival. They just have it their way. They're McDonald's Christians or Burger King Christians. They have it their way every Sunday. I like this. Well, we'll do what you like. Keep you coming. Okay, you get what you want. God doesn't get what he wills. Souls don't get saved. But we're happy. That was nice. Amen. If souls aren't getting saved, nice is not what it's all about. It's being effective for Jesus. You've got one life to live. You don't touch another life for Jesus. That life has been lived in vain. Amen. Amen. It's in vain. It's all in vain. We're unprofitable servants. But we had it our way. If I was going to a church, asked to come and preach, and they wanted an evangelistic service for several days, I'd say, you know, we're going to do it different when I get there. We're not going to do it the way it's been done Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. The same old won't get revival. If it would, you don't need me, and you don't need him. Can you say amen? But we've always done it this way. Well, look at it. What has it accomplished? What is that way accomplished? How many souls have you brought to Christ? How many people have you... God has to make changes in us. You can't be the same old you and expect people just to listen to your biblical knowledge. God wants to change you and make you a living epistle so that they see something of him in us. He can't make those changes in satisfied people. He can only make those changes in people that say, I need to change. I want God to change me. I don't want the same old. I don't want something that sues me over. I want something that challenges me. I want the change. Everybody say, I want the change. Amen. At the grocery store, you give them a 50 because that's all you got. It's a $1.98 purchase. How many want the change? How many say, oh, just keep the change. I don't like change. Amen. No, we want the change. What about the change? Amen. And if they don't give you the full change and give you change for a 10, you say, whoa, wait just a minute. You don't, oh, but the line is long. Why don't you just take your change for the 10 and go home? No, but you don't care about no long line no more. Can you say amen? I gave you a 50. There it lays. You haven't even put it in the register yet. Anoint your eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. Amen. You get a people that want to change. Amen. You've got to get ready for change. Can you say amen? Never been a revival that some people didn't leave. They got mad when they saw the power of God because they lost control. Everything was controlled by religious order until God broke through and the kingdom broke through. And a lame man running in on Sunday morning, leaping and exalting the name of Jesus was not business as usual. Some people got excited about a living God. And other people got a concern that they were going to lose control. So they brought Peter and John before the religious order and elders of that city, the Sanhedrin. Not of that early church established, but the Sanhedrin. They charged them that they would not preach or teach anymore about God, about gifts, about faith. No, in his name. Preach anything you want. Teach anything you want, but not in his name. Don't associate the name of Jesus. Don't let Jesus be the centerpiece. Talk about all the peripheral you want, but don't let Christ be the centerpiece. Don't preach or teach anymore in his name. It said they would have killed him, but they feared the people that saw the miracle because they could not deny. See, this is one that was undeniable. They called it a notable miracle. They could not deny that a notable miracle had been wrought upon the man who was crippled. They couldn't deny it. Hallelujah. Amen. And they would have killed them on the spot, but they feared the people because they could not deny. People were sick and tired of just going to church, amen, giving their money, amen, going through the same old, same old. They saw God move. They saw God manifest himself. They were hungry to see more. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. They wanted to see. How many want to see God move in your life? How many want to see God move in your family? How many is it more to you that mean more to you? How many, if you had a sick child like I was, you'd love to see God heal that child? Not just get a new car, better house, better job. Do something that only God can do. Something supernatural. Well, there's a name involved in that. Can you say amen? Faith, the prayer of faith involves the name of Jesus and the exaltation of that name. So after they had threatened them with death and charged them not to preach in his name anymore, they asked them a question leading up to that. By what authority do you preach? We haven't sent you. See, they were losing control. They were losing control. Amen? People want a pastor most of the time to be a puppet that somebody pulls the strings and he's animated by what everybody wants instead of controlled by God. I don't want to hear from a man that's giving the people what they want. I want to hear from a man that's giving what thus saith God. I am not here to please everyone in this room. I'm going to tell you up front, so don't be disappointed when I don't please everybody in this room. I am here to deliver you something from the heart of God. I got it from God. I came to give it. Can you say amen? I'm not asking permission. I'm asking you, is it in the book? Can you say amen? If it's in the book, I'm asking you as a responsible Christian to accept it in your life. How many believe he's the Lord? Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm preaching his truth. Praise God. Without apology. I don't want to hear it any other way. Because I'm serious about going to heaven. And when I'm sick, I'm serious about being healed. And when I'm bound, I'm serious about being delivered. Those said, by what authority did you heal that man? We didn't send you. He said, remember the Jesus that you put on the cross, whom God hath raised from the dead. I want you to know, Peter said, through faith in his name. Not faith in my gift of healing. Not faith in my notoriety as a minister. Not faith in my anointing, but faith in his name. This man stands before you whole today. So the prayer of faith is about exalting the name of Jesus, isn't it? Isn't it? Come on, church. Say me amen. It's all right to exalt him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Well, I want to be a Christ-exalting minister. I want to preach Jesus. I want everything to revolve around him. We talk about the fruit of the Spirit. It's his character that's being reproduced. Huh? It's not just a better you, a better me. It's more of him in us. Paul said, as the fruit of the Spirit begins to develop in me, it's no more I that live, but Christ who liveth in me. Amen? Paul was becoming more like Jesus. Everybody say more like Jesus. That has nothing to do with the gifts of the Spirit. Amen? Prophesying don't make you more like Jesus. Fruit of the Spirit makes you more like Jesus. Laying hands on the sick don't make you more like him. It's not power. We're talking about the change in the character. As we behold as in a glass his face. That means we're looking to him for the example that we want to be like. Amen? I mean, no children do that. They're concerned right now that a bunch of young people are looking to Paris Hilton as what they would like to be like. Hard partying, rich gal. That's great. And there was it's on CNN News. They're concerned about what young people are looking to as models. That's why the NFL, one of the reasons they're so concerned about the great quarterback that put his whole career in jeopardy because of the cruelty to animals. They say, why'd he do that? You know, he has a responsibility to the team, to the image, because young people look up to these guys. It goes with it. You can't be famous without being responsible for them. People are going to look up to you. Amen? You can't bear the name of Jesus. Absolve yourself of responsibility. Rosie Greer, who professed a faith in Christ later on in his life, he was a hard-partying football player, Rosie Greer was, hard-partying guy. And someone approached him one day and said, listen, don't you know that there's all these young people looking to you for an example that want to be just like you back when he was in his heyday? And he told them, he said, I'm not a role model to anyone. I'm a football player. He said, but you can't be a football player of your caliber and not have people look to you for an example. And Rosie Greer began to think about his own life and where it was heading and where he would be leading others. And he professed a faith in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Maybe Michael Vick will do the same thing and say, I've just lived irresponsibly with all the wealth and the fame and the allocation. Maybe. Wouldn't it be? Pray for Michael Vick that he'll say, Jesus, I need direction in my life. I need more than just all this junk. And be a real role model and say, this is how you turn your life around. It could happen, and these people can be influential for Jesus. You can't name the name of Jesus and absolve yourself of any responsibility like so many are trying to do today. There are people who profess him. Let me tell you what Titus said. This is one of the strictest teachings on that I've ever heard. Titus 1:16. Little book of Titus. Profound truth in it. But listen to what he said. They profess that they know him, but in works, they deny him. You know what they would say to Titus today? Don't judge. He said, you're the one that said I'm a Christian. You're the one that opened your life to the scrutiny. You're the one that said you're Christ-like. You can't just say that. That don't make it so. Here, I'm going to try this on. I am rich beyond my wildest dream. Ask me for $50. You're going to find out that's an empty profession. It's not in there this morning. I am not that rich. I could write you a check as long as I could post date it. Don't ever be ashamed if you send a note or a telephone and say, don't cash that check. Don't cash that check. It's okay. We understand. Been there, done that. Everybody say, been there, done that. But if you ask me if I'm rich in Jesus, oh, honey, don't get me started. Can you say amen? I'm a wealthy man, a regal man. Amen. Kings and princes can't touch what I possess in him. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, I'm a child of the King. His royal blood now flows through my veins. And I, who was wretched and lost, now can say, oh, yes, I'm a child of the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. God wants to make change. God's in the restoration business, last but not least. And we're going to have one more in this series. Because the greatest story of restoration in the New Testament, one of the great ones in the Old Testament, there's so many. It's all over the Bible. The Bible's about restoring, even in the garden, but it's all over the Bible. But in the Old Testament, it's in the book of Joel, I will restore unto you the years that the caterpillar, the canker worm, the palmer worm, and the locust have eaten. Amen? I will restore that to you. Judgments came because they lost sight of that and they got away from God, but God restored that. Hallelujah. But at Luke 15, and I'm not going to read it, I'm just going to tell you in Luke 15, 11 through 24, there's the story of the prodigal son. And it is one of the greatest New Testament illustrations of God's restoring power that you're ever going to find in the New Testament. Amen. And next week, Lord willing, we'll be able to deal with that because that'll be the week before Communion Sunday. I think we've got one more week in this month. But it's about God's restoring power. And I'll tell you, anybody anywhere that thinks they have drifted too far, gone too far, their life has been too devastated by sin to ever come home and be restored, amen, needs to hear that message. God is in the restoration business. Can you say amen? He's in the restoring business. David wasn't fronting when he said, God restores my soul. He was telling the truth, not putting on something that didn't exist in his life. Amen. I want that reality. I need reality. Everybody say reality. Amen. My faith holds on to that is real and tangible. God being a spirit doesn't make him less real. Can you say amen? And what God does is tangible. Amen. If you want to touch a miracle, touch me today somewhere. Amen. Because I am a living, breathing product of what God can do through the name of his Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We need his name. How many know we need Jesus at the center of the gospel again? Wouldn't it be great to turn on television, amen, and hear a message all about Jesus? That's why we call our radio broadcast. See, there's somebody already talking about faith. And there's someone already talking about how to get your felt needs met. There's someone talking about the material world. All the time talking about that. Amen. We need a message that talks about Jesus. But the good thing is, in that message, all these other needs will be taken care of. And he's exalted. The kingdom is put first. Your Father knows what you have need of. Said he's going to take care of all that. And he ain't going to take care of it because you spend time worrying or time fretting or even time seeking for that. He'll do that. Just like your mom and daddy did for you. I didn't have to go and beg for lunch money. It was set aside for me. It was laying on the table. All I had to do is pick it up because I was provided for. Amen? Amen? I didn't have to beg my daddy when I was hungry. Amen? Dad was going to work and try to provide for me. Amen? God don't want me using my faith trying to get him to feed me and clothe me. He wants me to use my faith to seek his kingdom and his righteousness. And he said, your Father that knows what you need will meet all of those other needs. And in the process of them, he will keep Christ centered in your heart and life. He'll keep heaven in your view. Can you say amen? Changes will come as you behold. As in a glass, that means reflected. Where do we see Jesus reflected? The true image of Jesus through the Word of God. Can you say amen? Through the Word of God. And as we behold his face in a glass, we start becoming what we're beholding because we want so badly to be more like him. We give place to the Holy Spirit to bring forth the fruit of the Spirit or the product of the Spirit, which is the character and the nature of Jesus. Wow. How many again said they had room this morning? How many got room inside for more work to be done? You're not there yet. You're not perfected. Wave at me if you're not perfected. Amen. Okay. How many are not going to wave at me no matter what? How many wave at me if I said I had $100 for you? Okay. Well, that's it. I'm sorry. You can't have it. There you go. It's not just foolishness. It's saying, I want change in my life. That's why the anointing flowed so powerfully in the jail system when I preached there. The men who wanted change released the Holy Spirit in me. Amen. That's why I went to churches before and preached. Had way more people, but I wish I was here because they wouldn't let the Holy Spirit in me flow. They didn't want any change. Amen. Nowhere for him to go, nothing for him to do. So what am I going to accomplish just by preaching under the anointing if there's nothing for him to do? Can you say amen? He wants to perform the word in our hearts and in our lives. All I can do is preach it. He performs it. Isn't that incredible? But you've got to have a heart that wants to change. Will you stand to your feet today? You've been a good audience, I must tell you. I've enjoyed ministering to you. Hallelujah. I stand ready to work a work, but I need an open heart to work in. And I need a yielded heart, a humbled heart, a hungry heart. Hungry for change. Because if I'm going to make you more like Jesus, there must be changes, saith the Spirit of God. If I can't change you, you can never be more like my son, saith the Father. I'm going to ask the question again very seriously. How many people want business as usual in your life? Or do you want the change? How many want the change? For those of you who want the change, this ministry has been given this morning. For those of you who are hungry and humbled, God wants to work a work. It will deal with the issues that Satan uses to get inroads in our life, where there's envy and strife and division. There's confusion and every evil work Satan has. I don't care what kind of faith you got, what kind of doctrine you're standing on, truth you hold. If you let these things get inside of you and work in you, I'm able to use that, and I'm able to do whatever I choose. You can't stop me until God can change you. Amen. And there is a love that covers a multitude of sins or faults. Without that love, we're going to see them and we're going to magnify them in one another. Amen? And you're going to do it in me too. Some people eat pastor for lunch. And children hear it, lose their confidence, and then they have no respect. It's incredible how the devil works when hearts are not becoming more like Jesus. And it's incredible how quickly he shut down when we love like that. Amen? It's a love that covers. I need it in my life. How about you? You need a love that makes up for your faults and insufficiencies? You need to be loved like that? Well, you need to love like that. Can you say, man, you need to give what you need so desperately from God? Freely you've received from him that kind of love. Don't hold it, withhold it from anybody else. Amen? Just give it like you got it. Freely. Forgiveness. Oh, how many things are just, it's like, you know what forgiveness is like? It's like immediately suturing up a bleeding wound. It's stopping the blood flow immediately. Forgiveness stops that wound from continuing to hemorrhage and take all the joy and the peace out of your life with it. Forgiveness just shuts it down. Praise God. Isn't that incredible? Amen. When you stand praying, you can't even use your faith until you deal with these issues of the heart. We've made it a complete faith alone issue, and there's so much more to this. God never made it that way. The Bible never states it that way. And you stand praying. See, we've got 18 tapes on faith. We don't have one on forgiveness. Come on. Because faith gets us what we want, and what we want is what we're after. God's after something. He's after us to be more like his son. He said, when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against anybody, don't even think about using your faith to trust God for your need until you operate in forgiveness. For if you don't forgive men their trespasses, the Father will not forgive you yours. What did the Lord's Prayer say? Father, forgive us our trespasses as contingent upon. Amen? You can't just get forgiveness without being forgiving. As we forgive those who trespass against us. That's why, oh, my shola bakishiti yonde. Do you hear what I'm saying today? God wants the avenue open to your life for his miracles, his blessing. But he's got to deal with our hearts, not just our faith. You bring your gift to the altar. I don't know what you're offering God in terms of praise or service. He says, unacceptable. If you've done something you need to get right with your brother, do not leave anything at my altar. Nothing you put on it in terms of sacrifice, worship, doesn't matter. Don't leave anything there until you go be reconciled to the person you know you wrong. If you know you wronged them, go get right with them. Jesus taught that. That's some of that stuff you don't hear anymore. No wonder God's people are just trying to use faith without ever letting their hearts get right. That's, no wonder there's no repentance in the church. None of these issues are brought up. They're not even issues. Jesus said, if you don't do it, I can't do it. If I can't do it for you, then you can't get the answers with your faith. We're just building faith, building faith, building faith, building faith, building faith. We're not teaching that will let faith work. Don't take a lot of faith to get a mountain moved. Amen? If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed and all these areas of your life are open for God to move in, you'll say to the mountain, be thou removed, doubt not in your heart, that thing's going to move. Can you say, not because you built your faith, but because the faith you have now can be used legally before God. If you have aught against anybody, don't bring your gifts to the altar. Go first be reconciled. He said, until you get it right, see, people are trying to just go on without dealing with these tough issues. God said, you can, anything you offer till you're reconciled, till you get the ought out of your heart, is unacceptable to me. I'm not receiving it. Nothing you do. No wonder people are like a hose backed up. Amen. Crimped in the middle. Filled with pressure instead of peace. Because we hold the stuff God says you've got to get rid of. Some people go to other churches and think that'll solve it. And they never deal with the issue. One lady came here. She only stayed long enough to resolve an issue. All the way back from the Holy Church of God. And you won't know who it is because there's been several come here that we knew in the past. She came here because her pastor told her, if you had aught way from back there, you go to that preacher and you get into forgiveness and you get it out. God can't take you anywhere. I can't, and the Holy Spirit can't, until you get this settled. She said, I had aught and I shouldn't have had it. And I came to ask forgiveness. I said, you got it. It was so simple for me to give, but it was so hard for her to ask. Can you say amen? Let me know, it's easier to forgive somebody than to ask forgiveness. If you let me work, I've built your faith. You've got faith, saith the Lord. If you open up the doors for my spirit to move in your life, there will be things happen that will be beyond what you have asked me for. For I desire to do more than you've asked me for. Yea, exceeding great things that my name may be known. Yea, as the great and true and living God, saith the Spirit. And you have not seen with your eye what I have desired to show you. You have not even heard yet the things that I have desired to do among my people. But I say unto you, if you will let may work in your heart and let my spirit work in your heart. I will prepare the way and you will allow me to prepare the way for my moving of my spirit which shall be great in these last days, saith the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Somebody give him praise. Hallelujah. 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 Number two, right on that one I gave you. Will we worship before we leave here? Before we worship, let me ask you this.